Are we blessed or what? Glory. Hard not to be excited today, ain't it? Somebody said if this don't excite you, probably a little something wrong somewhere. We're just so thrilled to be here today. I have been blessed and more than blessed. This morning, Ralph's already read the scripture that I was going to use. Seemed like that's a habit of mine, getting up here and saying somebody done read my scripture. But it's wonderful that God is leading us all in one direction. Bible says, you know, house divided against itself can't stand. And I'm glad when we come in one common union to serve the Lord and to do the things that God wants us to do and mind the Spirit of God. That's the main thing. Want to welcome all of you this morning. Some of you, I don't know your names, but welcome anyway. I know Dave's name back there, and young Dave, I know him, and they about got a bench full this morning, so that's wonderful. And good to see all of you today. Just what a glorious blessing it is. I don't count you visitors today. If you know the Lord, you're at home.
Amen.
That's just the way it is.
Lord.
If you don't know the Lord, maybe you'd like to know him today. We've got some folks back that hadn't been here for a while. We're thankful for that. Got some of you here that's been my buddies for a long, long time. Thankful for that. And I'm thankful for our young people. I just can't be thankful enough for our young people. And the ones that are training them and helping them and teaching them and leading them along the way. What a blessing. What a blessing. I've been, believe it or not, I've learned to Google. How about that? Getting there ain't a Tom. Amen. This will tickle the youngins, I know, that this old man's learned to Google. But I learned some things this week, and I got to wondering about what we'd spent for Christmas. It don't have an update on this year yet. It's going to be bigger than last year. And last year, the United States of America spent $7.4 billion for Christmas. Isn't that amazing? That's a lot. I can't fathom. When I was a boy, $100 scared me to death. And now they're talking of thousands and millions and even billions. $7.4 billion spent for Christmas. Now, I'm not condemning giving. I may even get a little something myself. I seen somebody stick something in my car already, and somebody's already handed me I'm thankful for that. Thank you. And I'm not condemning giving, because it's a blessing. Bible says it's more blessed to give than to receive. But some things could get out of hand. But the question that I have for you today, what have I brought to him? That could be a message, and I could say, If you'd really think through it. What have I given to Him, the Lord? After all, this is His birthday. Amen. How many of you had a birthday party and didn't expect to get nothing? Let's see. I don't see no hands. Is it fair? If you'd have a birthday party and not give the one that had the birthday anything? I don't know. It's just questions that I like to run through your minds. What have I given to Him? Let's read a little bit of scripture here this morning. You know, there's something special going on down in Bethlehem. There really was. You say, well, I don't believe that Jesus was actually born in Bethlehem like they say. I don't care whether you believe it or not, He's still born down there. It excited some folks. There's some people got excited about a little baby being born down in Bethlehem. I think some of the greatest things that we have of direct I don't like to say proof, but anyhow, to draw our attention to the fact that something special went on down there. There was some shepherd boys out on the hillside keeping watch over their flock by night, and the angels came to them. Well, now, that meant there's something special. I mean, how in the world would they know to go down to Bethlehem if this wasn't something special going on? So let's read this story that Ralph, I'm not going to read the whole story, but I'm going to go down to about verse 11, I believe. Chapter 2 of Matthew. It's talking about the wise men out there gazing at the stars. That's what these wise men were. They're astrologers. They were out looking at the stars, and all of a sudden something magic happened. That's what a lot of people say. I had this coincidence. But it wasn't a coincidence. God had showed these men something special. First of all, He showed the shepherds that there was a lamb down in Bethlehem. Second of all, He showed the wise men that there was a star lamb down in Bethlehem. A star shining brighter than anything that this world could ever, ever know. It's this star that lights up your heart and my heart if you know Him today. Is He burning bright? Or is it like a little candle that you put under a bushel? Or is He that city on a hill that can't be hid? Amazing. Of the very fact of the birth of Jesus Christ, and amazing that these men would go down there as smart as they were supposed to be, watching the stars and all of these things, they'd go down there to see a little baby. Isn't that amazing? I think it's amazing. But as they came down there, it says, and when they were come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary, his mother, and fell down and worshiped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented unto him gifts, gold, and frankincense, and myrrh. My wife wears a shirt real regular, and I love it. It says, "Wise men still seek Jesus." Amen? Now, of all of the smart people in the world, these wise men was supposed to be it. And a lot of times wise men think they already know it all, but these wise men knew that there's something special going on down in Bethlehem that they had never seen before. And they went. I doubt they knew too much about religion. They were astrologers. I doubt they knew too much about, really much about God. I don't know what they knew. I don't know whether they had ever bowed themselves down before a holy God and worshiped or not. But they worshiped this little child. And they brought him gifts, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. They were prepared to go down there and give this child gifts. Why? Why would they take him gifts? He was just a baby down in Bethlehem. But no, they knew that he was something special laying there in a cow's stable, in a manger, lowly, wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. Think about that. And when they got there, no doubt they had gone down and we're going to take him some gifts. That's what most of us do when we go to a birthday party. We make sure that we've got a gift. Well, now we're coming up to a birthday party, and we ought to have some gifts. But before they gave the gifts, they worshiped him. Until you come to the place that you've been born again by the blood of the Lamb and by the Spirit of God, you've got no gift except say, "Here, Lord, I bring myself." They worshiped him. And then they had something to offer him. You see, Jesus, when he went away, he said, "I gave to you, what have you given for me?" And as we come to this Christmas season, I ask you again, what have I given to him? What have I to offer him? What would he look for if he looked for me to come to his party? What is it? I say, "I don't have nothing. Oh, I'm so pitiful. I'm so poor. I just don't have anything." Jesus said, I became poor that you might be rich. I came to you and I gave to you that you might have something to give. And that you might have something to offer that nobody else in the world can give except you. Let me ask you another question. Have you really, really worshiped Him? Wonder what was included in this word worship. It might, so for some people, it might be time that we just go out and kind of show off a little. We might just sing because we think we really can sing. We might do a lot of things just for self-glory. But it's not for our glory anymore. It's for the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. This is His birthday. It isn't ours. It isn't our children. It isn't the world. It isn't this and that or the other. It's because that we know Him and we come to worship the Lord Jesus Christ. I think many of a Christmas I've missed this. I think many of a Christmas I've come through and say, boy, I'm glad it's over. There's so much rush and so much going on and so many things happening and I'm getting fat. I've been to too many meals. I just told my wife, she said, we're going to have to start doing something about our weight. And I said, yeah, I'm going to wait till after Christmas. Hey, man, you know what I'm talking about. But have I come to the place that I'm thankful for who He is and what He is and what He became that day kicking in the crib? Do you see that the King of glory came from heaven, took upon Himself flesh, and was kicking in the crib? The Creator of all of the universe was kicking there in that little manger that day, and He's still the Lord of lords and King of kings, and He shall be forever and forever. I believe I'll just bow down and worship Him. Can you see the mighty works of an almighty God and see what's happened in this little church in the last little while? Can you see how God has expressed Himself? Can you understand that He is the King that we worship today?
Hallelujah!
Hallelujah! What a Savior! Woo! Glory! We come humbly before Him and worship Him. And by worshiping Him, we find that something happens in our heart and in our lives that brings something forth that we can't find no other way except through the worship and the relationship with Jesus Christ. And we begin to praise God and give Him glory. And we sing our songs. And we ought to sing them in worship. We ought to sing them in truth. We ought to know the meaning of what we're singing. Amen. Deep down in our heart. Amen. You see, with worship comes praise. With true worship comes praise and honor and glory to the King of kings and Lord of lords. Hallelujah! I'm glad I'm a part of the family of God. I just keep saying it over and over and over again. Somebody came to Walmart the other day and I met him. I said, "Boy, Larry, you're a good man." I said, "I'm just a Christian on my way home, and that's good enough for me." Hallelujah. You see, without him, I wasn't nothing. Without him, I was on my way to hell. What have I brought to him? For these wise men, I believe it was a long ways from where they was down to Bethlehem. I'm going to tell you one thing. It was a long trip from where I was down to Fairview that night when Jesus called me off of the third pew of an old Methodist church, brought me down to a place where I would humble myself before him. And I'm glad to tell you that I'd go hundreds of miles if I had to get it all over again. Hallelujah. That's how good it is. We go around the birthday parties and they start opening their packages. Had our little 4-year-old birthday the other day, and I watched her open her packages and how excited she was. She'd get one open, she couldn't wait to tear the next one open. I thought about a lot of things. But if what we brought to Jesus excited him one bit, have we just given him some leftovers? I noticed something else on Google. I noticed that one of the least offerings of the year for the church is right after Christmas, because people had spent most of their money on toys and fancy things and things of the world, and they had very little left over. In fact, a bunch of them was so far in debt, they didn't think it'd ever get out. Do you think Jesus is excited about that? Now listen to me. I hope every one of you youngins is getting something for Christmas. And I hope your parents could do a little something for your children for Christmas. There's nothing wrong with that. That's not what I'm saying. But I am saying we've got so wrapped up in it, we've just about left out the main one. You know what I mean? They come a time when, right down in the end, the Bible says that the judgment will come. And he'll separate the sheep from the goats. You remember the story. And there'll be people come and say, "Why me? Didn't I do this and didn't I do that in your name? Didn't I do mighty wonderful works?" And what did he say? He said, "As much as you've done it for the least of these, my brother, you've done it for me." I'm proud to be a pastor of a church that's willing to give to those in need. Those that are hurting, those that are hungry,
those that are in trouble. Because I believe if you've got anything to give, that's the way Jesus would be pleased. After you've worshiped, after you've praised Him, after you give Him honor and glory and praise in all of the things, that's ours to give. We must look out to those in need. I believe you do. I believe you will. But what's it for? Because we pity somebody? Because we may even look down on people? We give in the name of Jesus. We give because He is living in our hearts. We give because we love and that we care. Because we have a relationship with this little boy that was born down in Bethlehem. What have I brought to Him? In closing, I want to say this. We must give of ourselves in order that we would have to give to others. He teaches us to work with our hands, that we might provide for ourselves and be able to give to others. You say, well, I don't have nothing much. I really don't have no material things to give. Peter and John didn't either. They went down to the temple to pray, and they met a lame man on their way, sitting with his cup out, knee. Peter said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ, rise up and walk. So, you may be of the poorest. You may be of the richest. But you've got something to give that the world needs to know. And that is Jesus Christ. You see, until you've worshiped, until you've brought glory and praise and honor and got yourself in a shape, you'll have this to give. If I asked you in the world we're living in, what's the greatest need? Well, some people say hunger. Some say this or that or the other. But the greatest need in all of the world is for somebody to love somebody. See, that's why Jesus came. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Somebody's life, spiritually speaking and maybe even physically speaking, is hanging in the balance. Physically speaking, that's one thing. Doctors may be able to give them physical life for a little while, but the pain will come back. And the trouble will come back. And the valley of shadow of death will still be hanging over. But when you give the gift of Jesus Christ to some old sinner along the way, you'll be better than a doctor. Because He gives eternal life. Eternal life. He takes the pain away. He takes the stain away. This was more than just a baby born in Bethlehem. What have you given? Have you given to the place that you're able to give back? That you're able to return Him glory and praise and honor? Have you really worshiped the King? What have you given? What have you brought to Jesus? What do you have today that you'd like to give to Jesus? You say, well, I'm lost. Then you need to give your heart to the Lord. He will enrich you with riches that you never imagined. And He'll give you something that you'll be able to give away down through the journey of life. That is the that's the greatest gift there are. More blessed to give than to receive. Since I got saved, the most blessed gift in the world is not what I can, but what I can give away. The most blessed gift that I know, and the most joy that I know, listen, church, is when some sinner will walk this aisle. Say, I'll give my life to Jesus. Where are you today? You say, what have I got to give? Give yourself. I asked my daddy-in-law one time, I said, I'd like to have more of the Spirit of God. How'd I do that? He said, just give more of yourself. And I find out that works. That works. How many of you give Him His rightful place in your time? How many times have you had so many other things going on in your life that you didn't even have time to go down and worship? Think about it. What have I got to give? What would I bring to Jesus today? What am I going to give Him this, for His birthday this year? You see, He's looking for you. While we stand, Billy, if you're here today and you're lost, let me tell you something. If you're here today and you're lost, you need Jesus in your life. Your family needs Jesus in your family.
Can I say something for you?
Yeah.
Sure.
Go ahead, brother.
Whoever wasn't there can't answer this question yesterday at the rest home. But is there anybody, we were singing carols, and the woman was rolling around in her wheelchair. And they had to go to the inn and come back. And she kept thanking me for everybody coming and singing. And I said, well, honey, when they come back through, what's your favorite? We'll sing you a favorite just for you. And when they come back down, she looked at me and she said, Victory in Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
She wanted to sing Victory in Jesus.
Glory.
Thank the Lord. I hold her hands up and she'll sing Victory in Jesus.
Glory.
That's what she wanted. She wanted Victory in Jesus. So thank
Amen. Glory. Glory. Listen, that woman sang every word of it too. And she would have led it for us if you wanted her to, wouldn't she, Ken? And she knew what it was to have victory in Jesus. Do you know that today? Have you got victory in your life? Are you defeated? Has Satan got you wrapped up in such a bind that you're defeated today? That lady, you say, well, that wasn't no Christmas song. It was for us. Amen. Because that's what it's about, victory in Jesus. You can have victory today. You don't have to go defeated. I promise you, Jesus will give you something like you that you've never had before.